Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the most innovative, you know, technological machine you'll ever find. And it's so easy to use. You know, we have three of them. We love them. They're always giving to the community, but they're always innovating on their own products too. So go over and check them out. Mention Coach Unplugged and they'll give you $400 off for Coach Collins. And also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's got everything you need to become a better basketball coach. We always tell our players that we want them to work on their craft. Well, are you working on yours? And that's one of the ways I've worked on my craft. It's something, you know, from someone that's coached a nationally ranked team, that has won numerous state titles, that has done those things. This is what, you know, I spent several years putting this together of things that I could share with the world to make coaches better. And the roadmap will take care of it and we'll walk you through everything you need. So go over and check it out. And just in closing, if you like this podcast, go over and check out High School Hoops. Go over and check out the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast. Go over and check out Funnel Down Defense Podcast. All of them are great. And leave a 5-star review. We'd love that. All right, have a great day. Let me record this so I can send it to you. Good. You know, tired. I'm just tired. I don't know.
That time of year, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting old. That's the problem.
Getting old. Okay.
I'm getting old.
How old are you?
I just had my birthday yesterday. Actually, I'm just turned 56. So,
wow, well, the happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, it was great. My daughter was in a professional Christmas carol at our thing, and I got to go see opening night on my birthday. So it was great. It was a great birthday.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. So, but anyway, what I was telling my assistant coaches, I just don't rebound as fast. Like after a game and stuff, I used in my 30s, I jump out of, it's like, I don't rebound like the rebound, like all things, you know, that's the one thing I've noticed is I'm a pretty hyper person and very energetic. I'm just not rebounding as fast as I used to. So it's like, it is what it is.
So you must have your team selected. And
yeah. We're only game. Practice. We're 1-2 right now.
You're already playing games.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Half the country's probably halfway done with their season in high school.
Oh, really? Yeah, not us. Games start next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you had already played already.
So last year, you probably don't remember, but last year I coached fifth grade, eighth grade, and a high school varsity. I coached three different teams last year. That was nuts. But so this year I'm back just to fifth grade. So my youngest, he was a fourth grader last year playing on the fifth grade team. So this year I got him on the fifth grade team, and I'll follow him up through eighth grade. But yeah, so the travel league for middle school, that has started. We played three games, but my middle son, who's on the high school team, they haven't started yet. The high school games start this coming Friday.
Wow. What state are you in?
Massachusetts.
Really? And then when does it end?
Mid-February.
Wow. That's condensed. I feel like we're condensed. Like, we start in mid-November and get done, you know, end of March, end of February, early March, depending, late March if we go tournament.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's condensed. This is short. I think the playoffs are towards the end of February.
February. Wow.
The travel season starts. The first games are the first weekend of December, and that'll go till mid-March for middle school. But
that's a lot of I'm gonna tell you from an old fart, I don't miss the old travel thing. Like when my kids were playing the youth, like, oh my god, where are we today? Like, what town are we in? Like, right, oh my god. It's like, I remember that. Yeah. It was fun at the time, but it was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, coach. You got questions?
You know, I booked the call because I knew by this time I'd have three games under our belts, and figuring that I'd have some, but we won all three games pretty easily. And things are going fairly well. You know, it's tough because I think we had four practices before our first game. And so you're just being very selective about what you try to get in, and you're really kind of trying to introduce stuff to them. You know, just trying to have a man offense, a zone offense, teach them help defense, have an inbound play, press break. And so you kind of do what you can. And so now that we've got those under our belt, and thankfully, none of the three teams I focused on man offense, I showed them the zone offense we're going to run. And thankfully, none of the teams ran a zone defense against us.
Well, you could have run your man. It probably would have worked.
Probably. Yeah. But it wouldn't have been the end of the world. We just had to fast break a lot. But no, so far, so good. So I guess, you know, what I'd like to pick your brain on, I mean, would be some plays, not necessarily for an offense, but like out of bounds plays. So, you know, I'm always each year for the middle school kids, you know, I don't want to overdo it. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I've learned that less is more. And I'd rather have them get one thing down or two things down really, really well than have five or six different inbound plays that, you know.
No. I'd pick one out of bounds play, and then you can vary off that. So will you see zone or man?
We'll see a combination. So I would say, but mostly we'll see man. The better teams will play man. The weaker teams that don't feel like they can match up, they'll throw a zone at us. So I would say more of a man inbound play. And I've tried different things that would have, I can teach them one inbound play that will have multiple options. What you think would be a good baseline out of bounds play that's got multiple options, and then a sidelines out of bounds play that would get us a 3-point shot if we needed it.
Okay. So underneath, I'd use it like a box. I'd do a basic box set. I really would. I mean, your fifth grade, I wouldn't like, I'd do a screen the screener. I wouldn't make it. And then you could change it where you do a side gate or something. I mean, a box set is probably the easiest for them to remember. And they'll only have to remember a couple spots, probably, if you keep it pretty basic. Is your objective to score or get it in?
No, the objective is to score.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when I ran my son's fifth grade, I would just stack it, and we would do different things out of that stack.
Okay.
Because sometimes they'll just be able to pass it into them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the first guy's open, just throw it to him. And then, you know, I would keep it super simple.
Yeah.
You know, if you stack it, it's super simple because you just cut the opposite way. And then whoever is the last one coming, it comes down the paint, usually gets it. Yeah. I wouldn't complicate it. I would stack it on the side out of bounds too. The issue is, can they shoot threes in fifth grade?
Yeah, they can. You know, I'm working with them on their shot form.
Okay.
You know, I'd rather, so in our league, it's use a full size ball, 10 foot hoop, you know, regular high school 3-point line. And so, you know, can they get it there? Sure. Can they make some? Sure. But like the last game we played, I think we were 1 for 10 for threes. And I'm just like, so I'm focused on proper form, and I'm trying to tell them, listen, if you can't reach the hoop using proper form, then I really don't want you to do it. But I mean, we live in the age of Steph Curry. And
I get it. Let me show you here. And this is going to be bad because I don't have my pad here. But
that's okay.
Ooh, that was bad. okay, so side out of bounds. Here's an easy one, especially if you do the box. Okay, I would stay with the box if you do that for underneath. Okay, so this guy's not here. We'll do side first. Okay, so the easiest thing is just a couple screens. So this person screens for this one, and they go to the corner. That's your first three look. Okay, the second look, so he's screened. Then the second look would be this guy coming through these two guys screening. There's your second look.
An elevator, yeah.
Yep. And then the third one is this guy is the one that usually gets it. So you can put your best shooter here, your second best shooter here, your third best shooter here. And then if any of them get it in, your fourth best shooter is the guy stepping back in. So that's an easy 3-point shot. So first is baseline guy coming across, second one is through the elevator, third one is coming back, fourth one is guy stepping in. The only bad 3-point shooter should be that last this guy over here. It should be your worst free throw 3-point shooter is that opposite side. And then like I said, on the bottom,
How is the inbounder getting a 3-point shot as the fourth?
Because he's stepping back in. Because as soon as he passes it here, he's stepping back in opposite this guy.
Okay.
So think about it. So the ball gets passed here. Everyone's going to swarm toward that person. He just steps into the open space.
Oh, I see.
You see what I'm saying? They forget about the guy throwing it in.
So you're either passing to the guy coming out to the corner or the guy coming to the top.
To the elevator. Yep. Yeah. So this is one. Here, and then two is elevator.
Yeah,
three is this guy stepping because he can get it and sometimes get it, and then he shuffles it to this guy going either direction. Shoot it, but really your third option is this guy.
Yeah, okay.
Because he grabs it, he's facing him, and then he just shuffles it to him, and he steps in for a 3-pointer.
Okay,
one of those three will be open. Guarantee it. One of those, as long as they set a kind of a screen.
Right.
So this is your smartest player and your shooter because he's got to make, do I make this one? Do I make this one? Do I wait for me?
Right, right.
And then underneath, like I said.
I wonder if it'd be better to have the weak side elbow on the screen cut across and come over and kind of use the other guy as a screen.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
You could do that. I've found three just stepping in because they forget about it. They're worried about everyone else cutting.
Yeah.
They just forget about them.
Yeah.
And then underneath, there's so many variations you can do out of a stack, and it's easy for the little guys to remember.
Okay.
Like I have him post, and then what we do is we just go opposite. Like if he goes here, then he goes here, then he goes here, and then he goes here. I'm telling you. It's just that easy. And then what we do is our variation is then we'll just curl. Like, so the ball gets out again. And again, this is, I wouldn't do this at probably eighth grade level or above. Actually, we did this for a scrimmage and we are able to get it in. But anyway, I do the curl where this guy curls and he goes to the corner. Then the next guy curls. Then the next guy curls this way and then he steps in. So the key with that 1-4 is you want all four spots taken, right? You want the corner, the block, and the other corner.
Okay.
You can just play with those. If it's fifth grade and it's probably man, as long as they're moving, they'll get it. I think the box set and all other things will take too long at that age to develop.
Yeah.
I think you don't want things you want, like, and then what we'll do is we'll get fancy and like, okay, you tap which way you want him to go, and then you're going to go the other way. So right, if you tap his right hip, he's going right, you're going left. So they don't know.
Right.
Kind of thing. So they think they're like, anyway, half of it's the selling it part of it.
Right.
But that 3-point line, that 3-point shot will work for sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I'd spend little or no time on plays in fifth grade.
Yeah. I don't do it. When I first started coaching, I had like a bunch of plays and like that doesn't work. So I just. No,
press. Now, can you press? Can you press in that?
You can press the last 4 minutes of each half.
Yeah. So I'd work on your press breaks.
So let's talk about it. What would you do for a man press break? I mean, I've got what I do, but I'm curious what you would do.
Do you have ball handlers?
Yeah.
I'd go on T-Trip and run sideline. I can diagram it up for you, but I have a whole press break course in there. Go look at that. Sideline will sideline the best dribbler throws it in.
Okay, yeah.
And then he gets it from a big, you move everyone kind of to the side. So I do that. I do a 1-4 set where you have two guys setting. I think that's in there too. I'd run badge. I literally would teach them. So here's what I do in practice. And this will develop for when they get older is how many players do you have at practice?
12.
And you usually have 12 show up?
Yeah, I'll have at least 10.
Okay. So I'd go 5-on-5, but I'd put 6 defenders on there and I'd go 5-on-6 and you can't dribble.
Okay.
Don't let them dribble the ball up. And what you're teaching them is those cuts. Here, let me show you what I'm talking about. Is the key to a good press break. And this is a skill set I get my youth. I want diagonal cuts. So let's say the ball enters here and we're in like a 1-4 set. Somehow we get to these four spots. And again, I'm trying to draw on this horrible thing. But anyway, the ball goes here. I want diagonal cuts across. So we teach them diagonal cuts, diagonal cuts, diagonal cuts, diagonal cuts. We want them cutting across the front of the ball because the defender's never going to want to get beat deep. Right. So when we don't let them dribble, we want them cutting up the court. So we always say diagonal cut in front of the ball and just keep doing that over and over and someone will be open. Because if I'm the defender, I don't want this guy going deep on me. So I'm always going to play on this side. So when I diagonal cut, I'm going to be open because I'm not going to play you here. I'm not going to play you here because you got me at that point. So you always want a diagonal cut on those cross things. And then we always say, give the passer four. So let me clear this. So when someone gets the ball, like right here. And so the ball's here. Okay. And you're going this direction. Okay. We want, there's basically gotta be, there's angles. Like he's gotta be able to pass here, here, or here.
So yeah, I tell them that we need to have an option sideline, middle, and
back. And then they should be cutting to those and not standing. So if you don't let them dribble, they'll have to do this because they'll never get open.
Yeah.
The release is always the dribble, especially the younger gate. They like to dribble so much. It's like it drives me bonkers. So that's what it will stop that, I think. And that will be that will help you to press. I mean, if I'm better than you, I'm pressing you those 8 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
I'm coming at you because I'm better. I mean, it's the law of large numbers. I'm coming at you.
Yeah.
So that's where I think, you know, spend time on that press break, I think will help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The last game, it was kind of cool. We were winning, not by a ton. And then the first half, so we played 2 16-minute halves and 4 minutes hit. And I show four. They know we're automatically pressing at 4 minutes. So I've got my fastest crew out there and my speed demons that will just put a ton of pressure on them. And I'm like, 4 minutes. And the last game we played, it just broke open. Like we were up by 20 in a matter of like a minute and a half, and we stole the ball like 5-6 times in a row and put it in, and which is good. And they tried pressing us, but they just, you could tell they hadn't practiced it. And the coach kind of gave, he kind of just gave up. He didn't know what to do. And, all right. So, yeah, so I'll definitely, I like the no dribbling. And you said there's a video called Sideline. And
yeah. Go on to T-Troops under press break. It will be there'll be a whole course. And I talked at a clinic maybe 4 or 5 years ago and did all my press breaks. But I would do Sideline probably with them, but I would keep it super simple. Like, yeah. Do not complicate. It's more about angles and how they're cutting.
I mean, basically what I tell them is the ball goes in the hoop, I want to get that ball out of the net, get out of bounds and pass it in right away. So I'm not a coach that wants to just take our time and set up a press break. I want to get it in.
Go. Yes.
And then I've got two guys at the half court elbows. And then the other guys, I just have them banana cutting. And if you run the baseline, when you do a banana cut, one of them is going to be open. And then when it gets open, if it's over here, then this half court elbow, he's flashing to the middle. So we've got our sideline. We've got our middle. Yep. The guard that banana cutted and didn't get the ball, he now replaces that elbow. And then I've got the guy who passed it in is my reverse, you know.
That's good. Yeah.
So I've got sideline, middle, and back. Right. And then if he passes to middle, then you just, I always tell him.
So what I would do too, with that rotation, I would do it with no defense out there, just so they're jump stopping.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they're moving, they move too fast. And you want them to go 100 miles an hour, but you also don't want them to travel when they catch the. It's like all that. The passing and the jump stopping is the hardest part sometimes at that age, because they get going so fast, their little bodies can't
Yeah. So do you think sideline is better than what I kind of
have? Well, sideline is if you're getting in trouble, because you'll get your point guard getting the ball going full speed down an empty sideline, which is fine. If you're not having problems, then I'd maybe show them that it's pretty easy, but
just kind of more keep it in my back.
Yeah, keep it in your back pocket. If you get in trouble and you need to get the ball to specific people, that's when I use sideline. As well as I just use my regular press break, and then we're fine.
Okay. If you were pressing with a fifth grade team, would you do a man press or a zone press?
I do a man press, and I'd run and jump and switch probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I keep it really simple, because they're going to throw the ball away anyway.
Right. Yeah. I say, as soon as that ball handler gets it, if he does a speed dribble, his head is down, he's trying to race over half.
Right.
From your guy and jump him. Right. And let's get a trap there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But initially out of the gate, the guy who's guarding the inbounder, he's following that first pass to go and trap.
Right. No, I like that. Yeah. I do that. I would keep it super. I mean, I just play full court man too. I wouldn't complicate it.
So what's your press break? If, because a diamond and one is very popular, we'll see a lot of diamond and one. What's your press break on a diamond and one?
It's the regular one that's in there. So it's, and again, it's because what they're going to try to do is take away that middle.
Yeah.
That's where the steal comes. So as long as you got guys cutting across in the front of it, you'll be fine. And a diamond, you should never dribble until it gets past half court.
Right.
There should be no dribbling. I mean, maybe dribble to initially when you get it in to kind of relocate yourself, but there will always be somebody open. And I want them to know how long 10 seconds is a long time.
Yeah.
You might even be playing on shorter floors. Who knows? I don't know what you play with.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah.
You know, sideways, it's not going to be 84 feet. It's going to be, you know, 64 feet, which is only 32 feet. You can get past that in 10 seconds. Trust me.
Right.
Yeah. Take your time. Okay. So depending on the court.
Okay. All right. Cool. So you use that same press break sideline, regardless if it's man or zone.
Doesn't matter. It will work on both, because it will. you'll see it. Because what it does is it takes those two guys, moves them to the side, gets a big coming up to catch the ball, and then the point guard gets it coming in. It's worked for 30 years. It will work. Trust me. It will work.
All right.
All right. I got to go, Coach. I got another one in about 2 minutes. Let me know. And then just text, let Amy know, and she'll get you on the schedule again after you've played some more games. All right.
Yes.
See ya.
All right. See ya.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.